Hello, Mama. I hope you are having a glorious day. I've heard there's been some beautiful sunshine over in the Midwest. So congratulations on that. I know normally this time of the year is not that. We in Southern California are sunny over here right now. And yeah, I don't know how you do it without the sun. You guys amaze me. Even living in Colorado, that's where I grew up. This might be wrong, but the Sunshine State, or isn't that Florida? I don't know. There was something about sun and what the Colorado, the name of it was, like the slogan or whatever. Because even with all the snow, we get so much sunshine there. So all that to say, all of you that are in the gray weather for months and months, you are my hero, and let God be with you. I feel so blessed. I know some of you love that too, so that's great. Anyways, I'm excited to continue our series today on suffering. Today's going to be a little bit of a different episode. It's going to be a little bit more practical. As you're in a season of suffering, a lot of us are going to need some professional support through that, whether that is a therapist or a coach or a pastor or you name it. And today we're just going to talk a little bit about that. I have had a lot of questions coming in lately about how do I find a good therapist? Or I've heard a lot of terrible stories about terrible experiences with therapists. And so I just want to spend some time chatting with you. If you are in a season of suffering, or maybe you're just trying to do this healing journey and you know that you need someone, you need to take that next step to get some more support, then lean into this episode. I'm just going to give you just some practical stuff, kind of some of the differences between all the different people and what you might go to them for and why I've gone to all those different kinds of people, therapists, coaches, all the list. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the academy as well. Not a ton, but just to kind of paint the difference between that and therapy, and then go into how to find a good therapist, how to work through payment issues and trying to find the funds. I know that's always a big deal. So all that to say, if that's you, lean in. I'm excited. Let's do this. Welcome to the Morning Mama Podcast, where it is time to wake up to the life you were created for. Come join me on a journey to heal from your past, craft a healthy, joy-filled life, and discover the gifts and passions inside of you that the world needs. Hi, I'm Brittany, a former marriage and family therapist who is ready to help you grab hold of your courage, step out in faith, and discover that your life can become more than you ever dreamed possible. This is Morning Mama, a place for you to throw off all that has been holding you back and run into true freedom. All right, Mama, so excited to dive in today. Oh, suffering. Yeah, we'll dive back into the deep end on that. And I know I said in the next episode we were going to talk about, landing in the two different kinds of roles of either minimizing or victimizing. And we're going to talk about that soon, probably in the next episode. But I just wanted to take a pause for a minute just because I just felt God kind of putting this in the forefront of my mind. There's just been, again, so many instances where people are reaching out, asking to find a good therapist. And then again, so many stories of some of you guys and then a lot of my friends and just different people I've heard about that just have had just horrendous experience with therapists. Some of them just not horrible, like they were wounding, but just there's no progress being made. It's kind of just a dumping ground of someone's listening to you and that's about it. And I believe that is not what therapy is for. I believe that a good therapist is going to do more than just listen to you, but they're going to help you strategize and move forward and help change your thinking, help change your behaviors, help give you practical tools or they're going to utilize tools in the room to help shift you and heal you. So, and then I have also heard just horrible stories of therapists that minimize things that should not have been minimized. I'm trying to think of other examples. There's therapists that have told a couple that they should get a divorce when that's not even what they were seeking when they went there. Like, there are bad therapists out there, truly. And so my hope for you is that I can just equip you a little bit on this journey to know what to look for and how to do that. Because it's so frustrating, honestly, I feel, as a therapist and just as a human wanting to help people find healing, it feels so frustrating about how hard it is to find a good therapist. And I want to say, as we begin, like, yes, it is very hard. And we're going to talk about that. And there's no getting around that. However, that doesn't mean we stop our pursuit. That doesn't mean we give up. And it doesn't mean it's impossible. It just takes more work than you want it to, honestly. Like, you know, I think it's already, there's already such a barrier of seeking treatment for mental health issues. Like, we already have the stigma of like, oh, well, I shouldn't need this. I should be able to figure this out on my own. You know, we have like, oh, I have to figure out how to pay for this. And, you know, there's that barrier. There's the time barrier, especially when we have little kids and trying to figure out how am I going to do this and how am I going to get to these appointments. And so there's already so many barriers. And then you go to the barrier of like, okay, who do I seek out? And just finding anyone alone, let alone the right person, is hard. And so I want to talk with you through this so that you don't get stuck on these barriers, that you keep pursuing this, because I believe that this is an essential step that most of us are going to need to take at some point, if not regularly throughout our lives, our marriages, our parenting, our humanness. I think most of us are going to need that one-on-one person. Now, there's some other types of people that you might bring onto your team at different points. And maybe some of you, those other types of people are all you're going to need. You know, I have a friend that has walked through a lot of severe abuse, and she has done most of her healing kind of through the church and some spiritual mentors and directors that have really gone in prophetically and done some spiritual healing. And so that's been her main form of healing. Now, there might be a season in the future where she wants to go to therapy, but that so far has not been part of her story. And she's, you know, really in a great spot with things. So I'm not saying every person in the whole world has to be in therapy. However, I do think it's a really helpful tool. And this is even coming from a therapist that's a little jaded after seeing and hearing the stories and just being frustrated, even myself in my journey of finding therapists. You know, I do think everyone that I have seen has brought something, you know, to my life, but there have definitely been ones that were more effective than others. And I have a lot of resources, right? Like, I had all the resources of being in school to be a therapist, which they highly encourage you to be in therapy if you're going to be a therapist. And so I had all those resources at my fingertips, and yet it still was a challenge. All that to say, let's dive into this because I want to help you. You've probably heard me talk about this if you've been around here for a minute, but my pastors, I love the analogy they give for therapy. I think they're talking specifically about like marriage therapy, but I think this applies to all different kinds of therapy. They see therapy as like a tune-up for your car. Like, your car needs to go in for tune-ups to get its oil changed, to get its fluids filled. Not good at cars. You know, the brakes checked, the tires rotated, all of those things. It's important to help your car function well. And you could not go in and you could ride on that in that car for a long time and maybe be okay. But at some point it's going to break down. At some point it's not going to work. And even if like you do the bare minimum, right, and you just get the oil change, because I think that one, you know, you can't only go a certain amount of years without that. But you don't do anything else to it, right? At some point, it's just not going to function well. It might be functioning. You can still drive it, but it's not going to be in its optimum capacity, and it's not going to last near as long, right? If you're not taking care of all of those like little ways to help elongate its life, then you're not going to get as much value out of the car. And how much more important are our lives than cars, right? So I do believe that therapy and different forms of healing are essential to live the full life that God has for us. That if we are just trying to muscle through it alone and figure it out by books and podcasts, that can be good and absolutely can help you progress. But at some point, we do need to bring in outside perspective. And again, it doesn't have to be a therapist. It could be a pastor. It could be a coach, etc. But we have to have that outside perspective because it's so easy to have tunnel vision. Every one of us, myself included, has blind spots because we cannot see 360 around us, right? We're trapped in our own eyes. And so just like, You know, I'm sure you think of your husband and you can think of his blind spots where you're like, he just doesn't even see that he does this. And it's so frustrating. And, you know, you might even bring it up and he might try and receive what you're saying, but doesn't really grasp the fullness of it because he doesn't see this. And so just like we can see in others, we have those in ourselves. And so it is essential that we bring in outside perspective to help us work through those and see those, and really just bring in some people that have a little bit more knowledge than us, right? More experience. And really, like, if you're on this podcast, you're here because you want healing. You know there's broken parts of you that you don't want to stay broken. And so it's important that you aren't just trying to muscle through this. The podcast is a great place to start, but you do need to bring in some more eyes, accountability, insight, etc. So first of all, you know, let's talk through first kind of the different categories of types of professionals that can help you heal. Kind of use the term counselor interchangeably. Now, there could be a pastoral counselor, which is a little bit different, but if I just blatantly say counselor, it's kind of the same in my mind. There is a lot of different certifications, so we're not going to get into the details of it. I am a marriage and family therapist, which means that the focus of when I went to school was learning about family systems. And so if you want to change how you're doing, you have to change the system. And so that's kind of how I was trained as a marriage and family therapist. But there's a lot of different emphases. There's LCSW, there's different states have like LPCC. It goes on and on. So again, I'm not going to get into all of that. Each of them have their own value, but just like a little bit of a different focus. All that to say, I'm seeing an LCSW now, and she's been phenomenal. I definitely can feel the more medical stuff that I don't like. I think I just always try and figure out, okay, what does the Bible's take on this? What does God say about this? And I don't think I don't think they can't mesh together. I just think there's some things that, like a diagnosis, like slapping this label on you is like, this is who you are, this is how you're gonna be, that I struggle with. But I also see validity in it and see how there is good in it. But I think it doesn't matter to me anymore. They're kind of what kind of degree they have. But I believe that every one of these, the therapist, the pastoral counselor, the coach, the spiritual guide, anything else that might be in existence, I think they're all different tools that I believe if you use in conjunction either at the same time or in different seasons throughout the course of your life, I believe like that's going to create this holistic picture, right? Even as I'm talking about the different therapists I've seen, each one has had a different emphasis, a different perspective, and has brought something different to my healing journey. And so just as each of these different roles will bring a different emphasis to your healing journey. So I don't believe like one is better than another. Like I now have moved into a role of coach and have stepped away from true therapy. And, you know, I think for a minute I had a bias towards that, but you know, now I'm in a different season, see things differently and have had more experiences with people and coached more. And I see like now so clearly that both are really essential. And I never like thought therapy was bad, but I think even more than ever, I'm like, yes, we need both. And I know that can be intimidating because you're like, I don't have that much money. How am I supposed to get all these people and time and resources and all of that? And so I think like, I hope that as you listen to all of this, God just gives you some insight into in this season, what do you need? What is your next step right now? Where do you begin to dive in more? Because it's not always going to be everything at once. You know, maybe this season you do need the therapist and the next season it'll be a coach. Just to keep that in mind, I think all of these tools work together in a beautiful, holistic way. But for a therapist, I think for sure, if you have a lot of intense trauma, especially if you're having any kind of suicidal thoughts about wanting to hurt yourself, any thoughts about wanting to hurt other people, if you are in a deep depression, or just really severe anxiety where you're struggling to function, I think a therapist is a really great place to start. Therapy in general is just kind of like slower work, right? I'll talk about the academy and how it fits into all of this in a minute, but you know, the work we do in the academy, you know, you get to sit and reflect as long as you want, but there's not someone sitting there every minute as you're reflecting and diving in and using these tools and going through the curriculum, like you're doing a lot of that with yourself and with God. And again, I believe this has a very essential role. However, if you're in one of these things I just mentioned, you're probably going to need someone to sit with you through each bit of the reflection. Maybe it's because you're like very triggered because the trauma is unresolved. Maybe it's because the you know, depression or the anxiety is overwhelming. And so you're going to need someone to help you slowly wade through things. And that's, again, how I would kind of describe therapy is slower work. It's kind of going deeper into things. A lot of it's focused kind of on childhood. And again, it depends on your therapist and kind of their modality that they use. But a lot of it goes into your childhood, kind of going through some of those memories, understanding how that connects to now, which again, the Academy does do, but we do it at a little bit of a different pace, and with a little bit less support. So if you're really wanting to go slow, a therapy is great. Now, therapy, I do think all of us are going to benefit from it because we all need in some areas of our life that slow work where someone is like walking with us through this, holding us accountable. We are meeting with them live every week, right? They see into our lives. They see the regular ebbs and flows. Now, if you don't have a good therapist, this will end up looking like you just going and dumping everything and them kind of nodding their head and empathizing, which it has its place, but it's going to end there. And you're going to feel good at first that they're hearing you and they're there for you. And again, that there's a place for that. But ultimately, you're going to want someone that's going to help you know what to do with that and how to actually move you forward. So if you don't find the right therapist, you're not going to see a lot of progress. If you do find the right therapist, you will see progress, absolutely, but it's just going to be slower progress generally, which makes sense because if you're at that extreme level of needing, I don't want to say extreme because I don't want you to be like, I don't want to be extreme. I don't know if I'm extreme. No, like if you're wanting to do the heavier stuff, you need to go slower through that. And so the progress is going to be slower because it's heavier. It's like thicker mud, right? You're trying to wade through the thick mud of trauma and pain and symptoms and all of that. So that's kind of generally how I would describe therapy. The next couple I just want to talk through more briefly. Pastoral counseling. This is a great thing to utilize as well. I really encourage you to bring in pastors as you are going through your healing work. I hope that you're planted in a church where you have a relationship with some pastors and you're able to kind of press into those relationships and have them speak into your life. And generally this looks more like them helping, them taking biblical wisdom, biblical knowledge, and helping you apply that to your life and apply that to where you're getting stuck. And you know, this can look like a lot of different things too, because there are some pastoral counselors that are actually trained in counseling. And so they might even use some like tools of psychology. And then there's other pastors that are just have gone through just seminary and are using just biblical wisdom and tools and prayer and that kind of thing. Both have value, but it can look a little different. So I do encourage you to step into this. If your church offers this, a lot of times too, like, you know, it's free. It just depends. Every church is different, but like, if that's available, like press into that. And I do think we need to invite our pastors into our lives and, you know, everyone is in a different place. It might not be a pastor. It might be a leader in your life. So if you're in a small group or a connect group, making sure that leader is also speaking into your life. And then maybe there's also a place to bring in pastors depending on what you're walking through, but definitely an essential component of healing as well. Coaching in general, to talk about that for a minute, is kind of typically more focused on the future and kind of charging forward through the current problems. Now, you know, even in coaching that I do, we do look back to our childhood and we do look at like, okay, what are the wounds and how are they impacting right now? And we work through exercises with that, but we don't stay there. And we might talk about like insight that we gain from that, but we're not like wading through the specific memories that are long and deep and painful. And, you know, we're not spending like a ton of time sitting there, which a therapist might do. And there's different kinds of coaches as well. You know, I describe myself as a mental health coach. In the past, I've seen a biblical coach. Honestly, like, there is not a lot of regulation with coaching. So coaching can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. I call myself a coach because I, again, I'm not practicing in that traditional therapy role where we're going slow and deep. I'm not usually, like, we're not working through a lot of trauma. If someone has a lot of severe trauma, I don't necessarily recommend them diving into the academy, at least right away, you know, maybe after a season of therapy, or maybe if they have been in therapy, then maybe the academy is appropriate. But yeah, so you kind of have to look into, like, what do they mean by coach? You know, I utilize restoration theory as the kind of baseline of my coaching, which is a theory that can be used in therapy or in coaching, but all that to say, like, that's like kind of what that looks like. I went and saw a biblical coach for a long time, and he was a therapist, that had also, moved to coaching, and he, kind of would just speak very, kind of prophetically and, biblically, and, just kind of like, it was in our sessions, he was probably doing, at least 50%, if not like 70% of the talking. And he would be speaking into our lives and speaking into what's going on and speaking truth and speaking wisdom versus therapy. Typically it depends, but typically the client's doing more, the majority of the talking, and the therapist will come in and ask more questions and reflect and bring in tools. And so that's kind of like that picture of how the coaching and therapy are different. And my coaching is similar too. It depends on the day, but maybe like 50-50, but it just depends. But I do, one of the things I like about coaching is I get to speak a little bit more directly. As a therapist, kind of one of our jobs is to be very kind of neutral. Now, you know, that can mean different things, but, you know, there's not as much space to kind of speak life in and encourage. There's some of that, but, like, it's a lot more like asking questions and helping you think. And again, I think both are essential, but I think God suited me more for coaching because I love speaking life into people and kind of like sharing my insights and then letting them take that home and sit on it and think through it and figure out how they want to apply it versus wading through like the deepness of like, okay, what does this mean? And how do I think about this? And, so all that to say, both have value though. Okay. Spiritual guide, last category I kind of want to touch on. And when I say spiritual guide, I do not mean like a new age person. I do not mean like there's terms that are out there like Reiki or, you know, there's crystals or, you know, even like I've seen stuff about like sound healing. And I think a lot of that you need to be very, very, very cautious of. I think most of those things I just mentioned are most likely, and I don't want to like put a blanket statement on it because, you know, I don't know, like sound healing, for example, I don't know if all of it involves spiritual aspects or if some of it literally is just like hearing a sound. But for sure, crystals, Reiki, that is demonic. I'm just going to call it out as that. And I'm sorry if not sorry, but if that triggers some of you, I encourage you to go talk to your pastor, like lean into the Bible, lean into some, just even research into that to understand more, because I know the enemy is so deceptive and has deceived so many people into believing that, that they can believe in Jesus and that, or, you know, that it's not as black and white as it being demonic, but I do believe that is something that we should not touch as Christians and we need to stay away from. So when I say spiritual guide, I do not mean any of those things, just to define it a little bit. But I mean like a biblical foundation of spiritual healing, which can look like a lot of different things. I have seen someone that, I can't remember what she called herself, but we spent time just in prayer together and she would kind of, we would ask God questions and I would share what I heard or saw. And then she would kind of share what she heard or saw. And we would kind of talk about it from there and see just how God might want to bring healing to different areas. And so that was an amazing experience. And I know people that have gone through just different spiritual kind of healing processes. Like some people, there's a term, I don't know if it's just like California or the West Coast, or if this is more of a broad term, but a lot of people might call this experience like a sozo, which I think that word just means wholeness, but it's kind of like a prophetic journey, meaning like you're inviting God's voice into the parts of the wounds and the brokenness from your past, and inviting God to kind of heal those different parts. And you're doing that with someone that is really in tune with God's voice, and they can kind of help guide that process. And again, even with that, you do need to be careful who you are going to, who you are trusting. Like, make sure that is someone that you know, or someone that you know knows, because, you know, you're really opening yourself up spiritually to a lot if that person is not like 100% on Jesus and solely biblically minded. And in our world, there is a lot of confusion around that. So be very cautious there. Another kind of spiritual guide I went to, a little bit different, not as much the spiritual aspect or the prophetic aspect, but it was like an art. She wasn't a therapist, but like an art healer, spiritual person. I don't know what she called herself either, but we would do art together, and she would kind of help understand what some of the colors might mean. And she would ask me a question, and I would kind of draw what I thought, maybe like what my instinct was, or what I felt God was saying. And she would help me interpret it through like the meaning of different colors, and just the meaning of some of the movements on the page. And it just was very cool. And she just brought just prophetic spiritual insight into all of that. So there's a lot of different ways that you can find healing. And all of them, again, have their place. Okay, man, there's so much I have to say about all of this. Okay, and before we dive into how to find the right therapist, I just want to take a minute and explain kind of where the Academy, the Healed Mama Academy, fits into all of this. If you haven't heard, if you've been listening for a minute, I'm sure you have, but if you haven't, that is the program that I created to help people walk through healing. And really what it is kind of like, I was thinking about it today, I'm like, it's like the podcast on crack. It involves teaching, kind of like the podcast, but in video form. And then there's a workbook that you use to go through the videos and use the exercises, self-reflection, inviting God into things, learning about your pain and your peace cycle, which is a extremely helpful tool that you can use in every interaction you have for the rest of your life. And that's not an exaggeration, even though it sounds extreme. And so it's for those people that like want to do healing, but you want to really make some tangible progress, and you're ready to kind of take some ownership for that, and ready to do a lot of independent work. We do meet weekly for group coaching, which has a huge impact when you show up for those calls, because one, you're getting to get coaching my eyes into your world, and I help you work through the content. I help you work through different scenarios you're working through in your life, help you apply everything, but also you get to hear from other moms that are struggling with the same healing journey and trying to figure out the same stuff. And every person always says, I get so much out of hearing from other people. And I've been in these situations before, and I do as well every single time. So that is like the beauty that we come together for that and help hold each other accountable and learn from each other. But there is a lot of independent work you're going to be doing as you go through the video and the workbook content. But at the end of it, you do get this beautiful tool, your pain and your peace cycle mapped out, which explains why you keep reacting in the same way, where that originated, and then how to actually change that, stop the anger, stop the anxiety. So it's kind of a combination of like, you know, book, podcast, and group coaching. And it kind of is all rolled into one, and you get access to that for an entire year when you join. So, you know, on the spectrum of all the things they talked about, kind of its own little entity there. but I know I love that kind of stuff. Like when someone tells me like what to do and I get to walk through that process and do it myself, I love that kind of work. So if you're that kind of person like me that really likes to have something tangible to work through, that's some of the feedback I've gotten about it as well, is that it helps like feel like you're making progress because you're seeing yourself work through the workbook and you can see the visible progress there as well as in your life. But sometimes like in therapy, it just feels like, what am I even doing? Which is not true necessarily. However, if you like that tactical writing workbook stuff, this is for you. All that to say, go get all the details at morningmama.co. That's morningmama.co. If you feel like that's you and you would love to step into that kind of place, I would love to get to know you and be able to help you through this healing journey, wherever stage that you're at. And we also just, I teach you how to invite God into all of the things that you're struggling with, as well as utilizing the tools of psychology. So it's kind of like a combo deal there. But all that to say, if you are in a place where you know it's time to find a therapist, I just want to spend a couple minutes talking about how to do that well. So number one, the very most important thing that I believe your therapist needs to be is a Christian, a believer in Jesus. I more and more just believe this is an absolute non-negotiable. You know, this person that you're inviting to speak into your life you end up giving them a lot of power, right? They're in a position of authority in a sense, because they are a professional coming in and helping you navigate your life and the world. And so if they do not have a biblical foundation, there is so many different ways they can steer you the wrong way. You know, the scariest part of that is the ways that they might steer you where you're not even recognizing that it's from God, let alone when you recognize that, but you're like, oh, maybe there is some validity to that. And you start questioning things, but also like that maybe you don't have as strong of a biblical foundation as you think, and you're letting this person speak into your life. Now, I do want to also say, just because they say they're a Christian, doesn't mean they're fully Bible-based. There is a lot of people that call themselves Christian that don't necessarily hold to a Christian, historical Christian Orthodox views. So, you know, don't go in completely with your armor down. Let your walls down. But meaning, like, don't just take every single thing they're saying and swallow it in as truth. Make sure you're holding everything to the Bible. And if anything doesn't resonate in your spirit right, then, you know, go to your leaders in the church, go to the Bible, and navigate that. So, but I do believe they need to be a Christian, number one. And then another thing to really look for, and this is a little bit harder to like kind of figure out, but I do believe they really need to have good training and also a framework that they stick to as they are being a therapist. And what I mean by that is there's different theories we learn in school about just how to organize our thoughts. And if therapists don't stick to one, or sometimes maybe they have a couple they use, if they aren't sticking to one or two, they're probably going to be all over the place, and they're going to have a hard time helping you understand your life because they're using a lot of different ways of understanding things. And that just leads to just a lack of clarity, a lack of progress. I loved my school. I went to Fuller Theological Seminary for my master's in marriage and family therapy. And I love that they were big on, hey, therapists, like, you need to figure out what your theory is. It doesn't matter which one, but pick one. Otherwise, you're going to get lost. And I've seen this. I think that's what's happening when people go to therapy for years and are not seeing progress, or where they feel like they're just vomiting all over the therapist and the therapist is just listening. I think that therapist is not sticking to a single framework to help organize their thinking. So I have a couple that you can look for, but this isn't always that simple to figure out. Restoration theory is one of the best, restoration theory, either one, RT, is one of the best things I have found. That's what I use in my coaching, and I use it as a therapist. It is amazing. So you can go to restorationtherapytraining.com, and I have that link in my show notes as well. But you can look to see if there's any of those therapists in your state. Now, I don't think all of those people are Christian, so you still have to vet that part of it. But I do believe people that utilize restoration theory are going to have a great way to help you figure things out and move through what you're trying to figure out. Another one, just to like, because, yeah, if you look for these trainings, it might lend them towards people actually using them. It's a little more complicated because they could be trained in it, but they also are not, they're using that and that and that and not really anything. But EFT is another good one. It's emotionally focused therapy. That's usually for couples. That's a great one. One of the best things to look for any kind of trauma treatment, but I also just think it kind of elevates the therapist in general. And I am not trained in this. If I ever went back into therapy, I think I would be trained in it. But EMDR, and I think a lot of you have probably heard of it, but that definitely is a very successful, I can't think of the word I'm looking for, a really great way to help heal trauma. So look for someone trained in EMDR and ask that therapist, that you tell them that you want to work through that. That's eye movement desensitization. Shoot, what does the R stand for? Regulation? I can't remember. It's a way to help process your trauma, and it's really effective. It really also pairs well with restoration theory. So, anyways, that's a great one to look for. But ultimately, you're going to have to go and try some out. And that's another big tip that I'll tell you, is it go and try more than one out. Like, don't just settle for the first one you call. Really, it takes time. And I know that's frustrating and feels like a waste of your time and you feel bad. But like, it is worth it, because if you don't have the right therapist, you're not going to make progress. If you do find the right therapist, you are going to be changed. So it is worth it. And if you're going to be investing your time and your money in it, you need to have something solid. Some other ways to find a good therapist is, one of the best ways to do it is to ask your church for referrals. A lot of churches either have therapists in their community or that they know of that they will refer people to. And these also, you got to always take with a grain of salt. You know, if you're not feeling them, keep looking. But it's a really great place to start, because at least, you know, there's a biblical foundation there. And, you know, it's just a good direction versus just being out there in the open, the Wild West, where you don't even know what to do. In terms, and just a, like a practicality for those of you that are new to this, if you are looking for a therapist, they will need to be in your state. Our licenses are only valid in the state that we are licensed in, so they need to be licensed in your state. If you're seeing a coach or one of the others, there's not regulations on those things, so it's a little more open. But for a therapist, they can do telehealth in a different city, but they'll have to be licensed in your state. Okay, tips on payment. Last thing I want to talk through. I'm trying to rush this because it's getting long. So I know it costs a lot of money to go to therapy, and I get that. And I know one of the challenges people often find is they are trying to use their insurance, but it becomes a problem because they're trying to go through their insurance and there's a limited number of people. So then they're trying to find a Christian, trying to find someone that they connect with, so trying to find someone that's trained well. And it's just a huge limitation. So, you know, start there. That's great. Like, see what you can find. Call every person on that, like, on that list that you get from your insurance company. And see, there are great therapists that are under insurance. So it's not that it's impossible. It's just harder, potentially. But some other options, if you really are struggling for payment, is to try and go outside of your insurance as well if you need to. And number one, it's worth it to find the right person, because even if you are paying the wrong person, even a small amount of money, and paying them with your time, and you're not making progress, you're not being led to a helpful place, it's a waste of your time. So make some sacrifices, like give up travel for the next year, which maybe that's really hard for your family, but if this is really going to make a big impact on your life, it is worth it. And some other things you can do as well is, even if they're not under your insurance, you can submit a super bill to your insurance company. You can ask your therapist that's out of network for a super bill, and you can submit that to your insurance company. And often the insurance will pay a portion of that. And I have actually never tried this, but I did have a friend do it, and her insurance actually covered a good portion of it. Therapists have always offered. I just have never followed through because I'm really bad at like that insurance technical kind of stuff. So all that to say, like, call your insurance company and find out what they would cover for an out-of-network therapist. And maybe you'll be surprised, because that's a great way to do it. You can also ask the therapist if they take sliding scale. Some therapists do, some therapists don't. But what a sliding scale is that a therapist might be able to accommodate to some extent their fee based on your income level or what you're able to pay. So it's worth asking. And sometimes therapists will have like one or two slots for that. And then, you know, once they're filled, they're filled. You know, every therapist is different, but it's worth asking. And I just, like, you know, as you're going into this, just pray, like, just ask that God will direct your steps, that he desires this for you, and just pray that he would show you the way and bring that right person into your life. And even along with your church, ask the people in your life that you know have been to therapy or maybe have been to therapy, ask them for referrals and recommendations, because that network is going to be so invaluable to really finding that right person. Okay. Let me just pray for you. And I encourage you to just take that leap to find someone on your healing journey to bring in. I hope it's me for part of it. I hope you find a great therapist. I hope you find some great spiritual coaches, so many different things that can help you along the way. But number one thing is, don't do it alone, along with your friends, but don't also bring in some professionals, because it is a game changer. I can tell you that from my life. God, I thank you just that you've provided so many resources for us, God, in this day and age to help us heal, to help us find wholeness, God. I just pray for everyone listening, God, that you would direct their steps, God, and just reveal the path forward. God, would you just show each mama what the next thing is, what direction, whether it's a pastoral counselor, a coach, a therapist, whatever it is, the academy, God, would you just direct her footsteps and lead her to the right path, God, and help her find that right person within each of those categories, God, that's really going to help her move forward. God, I pray protection over everyone in this, God, that they would not find the wrong people, God, and that you just would have your hand of provision over every detail of this, God. Thank you that you just use us to sharpen each other, God, and we get to do this cool thing of healing together, God. We love you and we praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you, Mama.
If you found hope and inspiration in today's episode, then hit subscribe. Make sure you don't miss a moment on this journey of healing. Want to help more mamas enter into the hope and freedom you have found? Please take a moment to leave a review. This helps so much to get Morning Mama seen so that more mamas can find this space. Lastly, please come say hi in our Facebook group, Morning Mama Collective. I would love to meet you and learn your story. Let me know where you're getting stuck in your healing journey so that you can help inspire more episodes. I am so grateful for you, Mama, and I cannot wait to see all that God has in store for you.